we are doing here is something not so easy to explain because it involves different aspects. In this, you already have seen the place in which we are. We can definitely say that the place arrived before the ideas. Indeed, the recovery of these buildings, historical buildings, realized by King Charles Abbott in the second half of the 19th century, led the company, the public and private company that organized the works to give a new good shape to these buildings in the year 2000, engaged them, this process engaged them with the problem of what to bring into the buildings among these walls in order to give good content to such a beautiful place. And in year 2004, after the end of the restoration, the bank of wine in which we are sitting now was founded, the University of Gastronomic Sciences opened its doors to students, and the hotel where you are going to have your meal, and I hope for you in future you have the occasion to stay, opened its activity. So the whole complex of the so-called agency, we call it agency because it's the French word agence that was used in the 19th century to individuate this place among the properties of the Piemontese crown, was filled with these activities that developed since then. The university has a specific DNA. Indeed, we are the only thematic university in Italy. The thematic means we are devoted to only one field of studies. That is not a very small field, must be said, indeed. We focus on all the subjects that are related with food production, transformation and distribution, and related with men as animals that are going to feed themselves. So, on one side, we are interested in agronomy, in botany, in chemistry, in technology, in sensory analysis. You visited the lab in the last hour. But, on the other side, we are very interested also in anthropology, sociology, economy, and law, because the way in which humans produce food, distribute food among their societies, shapes the evolution of food. It doesn't take to read Jared Diamond, Gems, Weapons, and Steel to understand that the history of culture in the Western world has been extremely influenced by the way in which we started cultivating in the Fertile Crescent 10,000 years ago, when agriculture started its activity. The basic commitments is to look at the world of food with the broader view we are able to dedicate to it, and in to accomplish with this commitment all the characters that we find into the world product in the world food production are interesting to us, from the smallest artisan to the biggest group providing tools for food production. And this is exactly the reason for which we are happy to work with NH, and we are happy to welcome you here. This is what we do here as academic education. We provide an undergraduate course and a postgraduate one. According to the Italian legislation, the university is a non-state university in Italy. That it means that the degrees we deliver are legal degrees controlled by the minister, but we are not funded by the Italian Minister of University. So we work according to private company principles, but we are under control of the minister in order to deliver degrees that are totally equal to the ones that public universities in Italy are going to deliver their students. Then we have 5 master programs, and we are going to open a new ones in year 2015, The master programs are the most international product we realize. We host more than 85% students coming from abroad in the master programs, and even the visiting professors coming from other universities around the world are the majority in the programs of the masters. When the undergraduate course and the postgraduate one have a majority of students that come from Italy, even if in the undergraduate course we have at least 35% of students coming from abroad. One school of Italian cookery and four Alto Apprendistato programs are the way in which we rely with the world of production in the most direct way, in a more direct way than in the undergraduate and postgraduate course, in order to provide students that become able to get into the production directly, but at the same time with a theoretical education that is provided by university teachers or university lecturers, in order to give them a good balance among theoretical knowledge and practice that they have sorry for my English in general, sorry for the lack of word in this moment. We place all our students for 10 months in a shop of an artisan in order to let him be the shadow or the artisan for 10 months.
It's like a stage?
It's more than a stage. It's a very severe internship, longer than any internship provided in Italy. 5 months with an artisan and other 5 months with another one. Only one internship made with an artisan. So a one-to-one relation in order to allow them to really get in touch with the secrets of the art. In the end, they come back and they have to realize their masterpiece, as in the Middle Ages, in order to be admitted in the art. So they have to demonstrate they got really able to produce according to the theoretical knowledge they got in university and the secrets they could know thanks to the internships. Okay? So the numbers are 52% of foreigners, 450 students per year are in Polenzo through the different courses, and up to date, that means in 10 years, 70 nations that have sent students to this university. Some of them, just one in 10 years, many of them more. The most important nations among the foreigners sections of the university are North America and North Europe. That means Germany, Netherlands, UK among the Europeans, and Japan for what belongs to the Eastern world. These are some of the companies with which we realized projects of innovation. On the other side, alongside the educational activities, we try to help companies that have become our strategic partners in order to develop an innovation in the food production or distribution. These are some of the logos, some of the symbols of companies that have entered in relationship with us to improve the innovation of their vision about food. Indeed, we are not a consultant. We don't provide just very limited services. For instance, to indicate a producer of a certain good or things like that are better done by consultants. We provide systemic design for innovation. So we suggest to companies ways in which they can innovate the way in which they get in relationship with food under many different aspects. For instance, waste reduction, at the same time improvement of the quality, at the same time improvement of the health of the consumers and of the perception of the activity of the company. So it's a very wide way to collaborate that led us to start programs or for innovation with Autogrid, that you probably perfectly know, Baglioni, that is an Italian luxury hotel chain, five-star and five-star superior chains, Risto, that is a provider for of food for canteens, and today even for restaurants in northern Italy, IKEA, that you perfectly know as Barilla, RED, that is a program for restaurants developed by the Italian group Feltrinelli, that is a publisher that is going to differentiate the activity even going in the restaurants field, and Italy, that you probably have heard before, that is the first distribution chain of Italy dedicated, completely dedicated to fine food. Well, if we consider innovation, my short and probably not so clear explanation takes a little more deepening to be understood. What we mean when we say innovation, because indeed you can consider innovative and innovation under many aspects, and for us, evidently, we think that some things are innovation, are proper innovation, when other ones are not, under our point of view. And so I have a couple of slides in order to allow you to appreciate, I hope, what we think is true innovation. First, basic concept, and this is not probably perfectly matching with the business that you perfectly know as the agro-business around the world. For us, food is not a commodity. We always start from a different point of view. So we don't consider food only under the point of view of quantity and price. But we always look at food looking for the value that we can find in food that is not only nutritional value, not only economical value, not only environmental value. To think about food as a commodity, in our opinion, is not the best idea, because it brings some consequences. To think as food as a commodity leads us to think that it's just a question of average quality, it's just a question to look for the best price on the world market, it is just a question of find it because it is already possible to be found. So we never match with problems like the production as something that needs to be enforced, that needs to be sustained under points of view in order to produce food with a different responsibility. The way of looking at food as a commodity leads us to taking in very high consideration just cost and price, but less value. When food is not just cost and price, that are the two most important aspects and in an economical analysis, but are our social values, are environmental costs that normally don't enter an economical evaluation, that don't enter a business plan. And so we try to allow our partners to appreciate other aspects of food in order to then commodify food, in order to let them appreciate the work of producers that are not just the best price providing we found. They are good producers because they produce in a certain area according to certain tradition, bringing on certain values in their community, and so allowing a delivery of value that is higher to the consumer than anonymous productions found thanks to the world market provided by supplier that don't take in particular consideration these aspects, the aspects of value, but are only focused on price and costs and on average quality. So, the second aspect that we consider as peculiar of our point of view about food innovation is that healthy and safe is not enough. It lacks an H, sorry, in the writing. Healthy and safe is not enough, because in our modern world we pay a lot of attention when we think about quality on safety. And we developed HACCP approaches, we developed regulations in order to enforce healthiness of food, but in many cases we are going to stress these aspects not in a world comprehensive perspective, but as a per se indicator of quality. Okay? Well, this is not a correct approach, because it leads to many other bad consequences. First of all, we have bad consequences because safe production, intended as free from any contamination, brings to a lot of waste and brings to a use over the necessities a use of disinfections agents. Well, we disinfect a lot what we are going to eat. We provide the highest level of destruction of bacteria in the environment without taking in consideration that we live continuously in a symbiosis with bacteria. And so it is very, very harmful to think about bacteria as something that the more you destroy, the better it is. It's extremely important to get selective in the way in which you manage food and you ask for safety of food. Because a kind of cheese made of raw milk and long seasoned, it's a proper food that doesn't need to be sanitified for normal consumer. It is not proper to be fed to children or to very ancient people. But for a large majority of citizens, it's definitely proper as it is. Well, going in the world of safe and health means always good, brings us to lead taste, evidently, and on the other side, brings us to ask for measures in reduction of bacteria in the ambience in which we live that help the selection of very strong bacteria that can become very harmful for our future development, and on the other side, for a non-proper waste of food, because we waste a lot more than what is edible because of the needing of ensuring an idea of safety that is not really connected with danger for our health. The second aspect that is the product of such an approach is that we focus on food safety and food healthiness and not on dietary healthiness. I mean, this approach very focused on the single raw material used, on the single process dedicated to the single food, is very good in leading us to think and to focus about the single element of our diet, but not on the whole diet that we are going to follow during our daily life. Think about the recent news. Yesterday, Europe opened an infraction procedure against Britain for the adoption of the so-called traffic light way of labeling food. Well, the traffic light, even if at the first approach, at the first glance, seems to be definitely lacking any kind of bad aspects, but seems to be very useful in enforcing the capability of people to choose what is proper for them. On the other side, is very harmful under our point of view, because leads people to choose food only taking in consideration that single element and not placing it among a diet. And there is no doubt about the fact that you can be having a very harmful diet even if you eat only green light food. Because if you look at green light food only, you probably misconsider the interaction among different types of food. And you can not consider what is not in the traffic light system. For instance, there is no light about fibers. There is no light about vitamins. There is no light about other nutrients that are not less important than fat, salt, sugar. So, taking in consideration food under a single aspect, and the example of the traffic light system is good to show you what I mean, leads people to a lower level of education, leads people not to consider food as part of a diet, something they have to enforce in order to live an healthy life, but not something they can choose simply paying attention to the single element like calories or the non-saturated fat content of that food. So, to recover the idea that it's not food that is healthy, but is the diet that is healthy or not, it's another basic point for us when we start a project of innovation. And something that we are happy to allow our strategic partners to appreciate with us. Third and last pillar is that food is not just fuel for bodies. It is not just a question of nutrients, vitamins, what we need to live, to grow properly, and to lead an healthy life through the days that we live on Earth. Food is a lot more than fuel for bodies. And this lot more means that food can bring in our life the appreciation for concepts like economy, pleasure, and education. This is a place that was founded by Slow Food. Slow Food was built in 25 years, has been built 25 years ago by Carlo Petrini and the other founders because they felt a danger for the right to pleasure. A modern society going faster and faster to nutritional appreciation for food, to an approach based only on calories and on the quantity I can afford for an exact amount of pound, it is not exactly something that is related with pleasure. The pleasure of food is something more, and it's not simply to eat the most expensive things or to eat the most refined food. Definitely not. It is something that is related with knowledge. If you want, the pleasure comes from the link between stomach and brain. If eating something, I get satisfied also under a cerebral point of view, that's real pleasure. It doesn't take to be expensive, it doesn't take to be refined, it doesn't take to be rare. It just takes to be something that feeds my mind together with my stomach. And that's the reason for which the storytelling and the value of food production is something important to us. Because when you bring the history of a producer of grain to the consumer of pasta, you have fed the mind of the last consumer with a lot more than simple a calories content or similar aspects of food production. And then history, anthropology, friendship, and in last extent, even love. If we understand and believe it, then we can consider food only under a single, even if nobly important, like nutritional elements, because we cannot eat food that is not good for our health, nor that is not providing for us the energy that we take, that we need for our daily life. But we ask for adding more aspects in the food evaluation. Let me say, with a metaphor, we are used today to look at food in a bi-dimensional way. Okay? We look for what we can afford and how good it is for our mouth. And we are already refined, because if I take a 15 years old person, probably I don't take the second part of this reason. Okay? They don't know what is good properly under a sensory point of view. They eat the same tastes because they are poorly educated. But they just look at what they can afford. Okay? The reasons for which the way to give taste into a McDonald's hamburger is definitely different to the way in which it is given taste in a Burger King hamburger depends on the audience they look at. Okay? children in McDonald's, older people in Burger King. So you move some aspects of the taste and they feel it good. They are not really feeling good. They are just recognizing some sensory elements of the things that are added to meat in order to let it taste for adults or to let it taste for children. Okay? This is a very large question about education, but everyone takes in consideration how they have to spend for food, since the moment in which they buy for their family to the moment in which they go to the restaurant. Let me say this is a bi-dimensional way to look at it, when the phenomenon is definitely a three-dimensional or a four-dimensional one, if you like science fiction, and you are used to refer to the fourth dimension. Because food is really something that cannot be put only on a plan with a couple of dimensions. And to consider food as a whole allows the food production system to get sustainable as it is not today, even without extraordinary efforts. Because in the moment in which you accept to take in consideration other aspects that normally you don't consider, then this leads you in your daily choices, in your daily actions, to balance different aspects. And you get less able to consider only the economical aspects of food, because you start having some doubts about this. And you start making a balance between economic value and non-economical values of food. And this is what we say when we this is what we mean when we say that you go in a more sustainable way to relate with food without extraordinary effort. And I'm not talking about philosophy. I'm talking about proper modern economy. But just taking in consideration that you cannot run the business the way it was possible to run it, when just a few nations in the world were using oil and a few nations in the world were able to produce food. Today, the most are doing that. The arable land is almost at the top. So running the business the old way is not possible. Running the business according to just the needings of the market, taking them as a kind of Ten Commandments, is no more possible, even for very agro-business-oriented people. It takes a different point of view in order to influence the market. Let me give you an example. Eating fish and meat. Is it possible to imagine when you listen to medicians say, well, eat more fish? Okay, as a dietary indication, no doubt about the fact that it's correct. Eat more fish than red meat. It's definitely proper under a nutritionist point of view. But if you think about 7 billion people around the world that want to eat more fish, in a couple of years, fish has gone. If we eat always the same fish, if we don't enforce way of breeding fish properly, preferring certain fish, stopping eating salmon, for instance, choosing small fishes instead of tuna or swordfish in order to consume fish that is less polluted, in order to eat fish that is more fastly developed, more developing and more fastly reproduced in the seas. So this is the way I mean when I say looking at food under different dimensions brings us to different possibilities to innovate our business. Let me say, the way in which NH produces its tools is not the way today that it was 25 years ago. Okay? They differentiated a lot the way in which they produced these tools. They no more are focused only on the power, but they are taking in consideration the sustainability of the business. And it is a problem of the cost of fuel, evidently. But it's not only this one the question. Because they have been already influenced from the Group of Rome And the question that you cannot put in the way in which you work the field more energy than the energy you get from that field through the transformation of the production. Okay? This is a very basic concept, but extremely important and influential. If you put 10,000 calories to produce 7,000 calories thanks to the corn you are going to harvest from that field, you have not only a problem of how much the fuel costs in that country. You have a problem of balance among production and result of the production. Okay? Economy should be this one too. Not only the question of can I afford the price of fuel in my country, or cannot I do it? That's the question. And the question takes a lot of angles of perspective in order to be correctly understood under our point of view. So I hope you start to see the fish in the fishnet to get out from the fishnet in which we are caught. What we suggest? We suggest not to start from a traditional point of view and forget the economical point of view. We just ask for consideration of other aspects. Add new perspectives. Don't forget yours. Please just add a few other ones. Not necessarily the ones we suggest, but other ones. Please only believe that food is not bidimensional. And so it takes more angles to be appreciated. Remember that scene of Dead Poets Society, okay? Get up on the table and look at the world from a different position. This is the concept, even and particularly about food. If we accept to add different aspects, then we are able to provide our customers with different opportunities to appreciate our produce and to innovate their way to approach to our produce. This is something that we owe to give to food. We need to do it, because food deserves a new perspective, able to give back value to food. Not just considering the price and the cost of it, but other aspects, and particularly what we call as an holistic approach, the value of food. And that's something that allows us even to approach without extreme efforts to the problems of food production, like the environmental challenges. Alongside, I put an example for you. In the last 10 years have become extremely popular tuna steak around Europe and in the Western world in general. Well, you probably know it, but tuna to be fished and to be used for tuna steak takes at least 8 years. Because before 8 years, tuna has not reproduced itself. So it is not proper in a logic of protection of seas to fish tuna when they are younger than 8 years. Okay? During these 8 years, tuna is at the top of the pyramid in the seas, so it eats other fish. It's going to eat a lot of what in Italy we call the blue fish, so small fishes that are its normal diet. Okay? So it's going to get in a lot of metals, a lot of other pollutant agents that have been the food for the smaller fish, and are going to accumulate into the flesh of tuna for 8 years at least before fishing it and transforming it into the nice red steak you have probably tasted before. Well, Atlantic Bonito seems to be similar to tuna for a non-expert of fish, but it's quite a big fish. It arrives about 20 kilos. It's what we call in Italy palamita. And gives very good steaks, because if you think about 20 kilo fish, you can imagine you can slice very nice steaks from it. Okay, the color is not that fantastic red of tuna. It's paler, evidently. But you can fish when it is only 1 year and a half because it has already reproduced itself. What does it mean? It does mean, under an environmental point of view, that you are very difficultly reducing the possibility of this species to remain alive, because you fish animals that have already reproduced themselves. So under an environmental point of view, good. Under an organoleptic point of view, a nice stick, because if you like thick stick of fish, you can have it. Okay, the taste is different, but it's a good piece of fish meat you can have. Third, it has only remained in the sea for 1 year and a half, and it does mean less pollutant for your health. So you got a result under an organoleptic point of view, a result under an environmental point of view, and a result under an health point of view. These three elements go together with an economic point of view, because you can buy it for 5 euro per kilo. Okay? In the normal fish market, around the costs of Europe, and evidently even North Atlantic markets, where it is sold even for $3 or $4. So you have put together even the economical result, the economical good result. This is what I mean when I say that taking in consideration other aspects can lead you to adopt decisions that reveal themselves to be good under many different points of view. It is a question that you start perhaps because you have a compulsory regulation that don't allow you to fish tunas, and that's the case. But you get results under many other points of view. And if you are a provider of tunas in your restaurant, or you have to write for a company providing Atlantic Bonito, you are able to explain it with a lot of storytelling that allows the consumer to be proud of eating Atlantic Bonito instead of tuna. And when they are proud and they save money, they are double happy. Okay? If you just tell them, oh, you know, we cannot fish tuna, it's mandatory. It's not allowed. So, eat Atlantic Bonito. Who would buy Atlantic Bonito? Nobody. They say, oh, no, I want it poor food. I just want the best for me and my family. That's the best for you and your family. But the way in which you tell it takes consideration for many aspects. If you don't pay this consideration, you won't be able to sell it and to allow people to understand that this fish is definitely as good as tuna. Other aspects that are important to be innovative. Have you already seen this scene? This is Mumbai, okay? This is one of the bicycle riders that bring food into offices every day in Mumbai. They go home of the single workers. They receive this metal can in which the wife of the worker prepared the food, and they bring it very fast to the different offices. They have a long list and they can bring a lot of metal cans together. Our students that are 15 times during the 3 years of the undergraduate course have saw it in Mumbai, and a few of them were flashed on it, okay, remained like astonished of this idea. And when they came back and graduated, decided to use this idea. They paid nothing for it. There is no patent on it. And they decided, why we don't deliver food prepared, ready prepared, so prepared at the moment, not something you buy in a plastic bag and you have to eat what has been prepared days and days ago, using a lot of fat in order to let it feel good. But just prepared in the morning and served at lunch to the workers. They thought it was a good idea and could work, but evidently in Italy, if you go home to find a wife preparing for the husband, probably you find the husband unemployed because the wife, she's working currently, and so nobody is home to prepare food. They created a central cuisine, a central kitchen, and they started preparing food and delivering it into the offices of Turin, the main city close to us. And they started this activity, and today they are developing very well this business. They were able to appreciate an idea in a different part of the world, and through a wide through eyes wide open on different perspectives, they were able to get the potential of innovation in an idea that is so traditional and so poor, if you see it into this picture. It makes you laugh to see the person with all these plastic, with all these metal cans around this bicycle. But if you think to it with a perspective that is less Euro-based or Western world-based, but you are able to consider other aspects, then you are able to recognize the potential of innovation. Other aspects. This is a presentation that doesn't work because we don't have enough internet speed. It's a presentation. I will deliver this to Barbara, and if she likes, she can share it with you. This is the presentation of Pig Idea. Do you know? Wow. I spoke. Do you already know Pig Idea? The Pig Idea is a project designed by Tristram Stewart. Probably you have heard this name. He is an English guy that a few years ago led an important campaign against food waste around the world. Well, Tristram Stewart was very interested in an experience that dates back to World War II in England. During World War II in London, was compulsory not to throw away food. So all the food remains and all the food wastage in the kitchen have to be collected in peculiar cans and then sent to feed pigs. Okay? It was really enforced by a national regulation. He decided to bring this idea another time into modernity and developed a way to process food, because today we know that some diseases can go from man to pigs, and so it's not proper to feed pigs just with our remains touched by humans, but processing them with a very short thermic process, that means eating them up to 8 degrees, all the problems are gone, and we can provide a lot of good fodder for pigs, avoiding the destruction of a lot of good food that we already have spent energy, efforts, and capabilities to produce. This is a good idea that seems very simple, but brings a lot of consequences. Probably you already know, but I recall it for the ones that don't remember. If you use remains of food to feed animals, you waste, you have a carbon dioxide saving that is 10 times to compost them. So if you think, oh, we already compost our food remains, well, let me say it is like the fuel consumption of the cars in the 50s. Okay, there are cars as the ones we drive today, but the fuel needings are totally different. 10 times is the carbon dioxide we save if we use remains to feed animals instead of throwing it into garbage or even to compost it. Okay? And this is another example of perspective that look at history and previous experiences in a way to take innovation from it. In Japan, the program is really advanced. And it is based on a very simple reason, and it is an historical one. We domesticated 4 stomachs animals because we are not able to digest cellulose. Okay? Even if we eat grass, we don't get fed by grass, because we are not able to get energy from that kind of food. So meadows are fantastic to be portrayed into our pictures, but are not able to feed us. To get fed by meadows, we need cows, sheep, goats, all the animals that have 4 stomachs, horses and so on, if you eat them according to your culture. When we domesticated pigs and poultry, we did the domestication of something that is in competition with us. They have only a stomach and they are omnivore. Why did we domesticate these animals if not to give them the remains of our food, in order not to waste nothing. Today, we are in the crazy condition in which we produce a lot of very good raw materials, perfectly good for our nutrition, to feed pigs and poultry, in order to eat them. Well, this is necessary in a large society. Today we are 7 billion, not a few dozen thousands as we were when we domesticated pigs and poultry. But this is not a reason to forget that we can use our food remains in order to feed them. Why do I have to throw away a perspective, to throw away an experience? That's the reason. That's the reason for which I suggest you to add points of view about food. Well, the big idea has been established in London, is in the boroughs of London, among the houses. And today is working there and working in Japan, where it has been... this is the Temaquinho. This is another way to look at innovation. Okay, some of you come from Brazil?
Yes, it's a fever in Brazil, Temaquinho.
Definitely. You know why Temaquinho comes from Brazil with this name? Probably not. Temaquinho is a way to call temako, that is typical Japanese recipe, in the second country in the world for the number of Japanese inhabitants. That is Brazil. So, what they do, they brought together this way to eat street food with Brazilian ingredients. We already have two Temaquinho restaurants in Milan. It is spreading around the world because it's a very clever way to eat seaweeds, to eat very poor ingredients, but presented in a nice way, in a modern way. The persons that were able to introduce this innovation were persons able to look at food not in the single way they were learned of. They wanted to discover new things, and they were able to bring new and different aspects together in order to innovate. This takes a new way of looking at food.
And I guarantee you the owners of the Temaquinhos in Canada are Brazilian.
The owners are Brazilians. Definitely.
Not Japanese.
Not Japanese. Absolutely. Indeed. Only the original idea comes from, there are many Japanese restaurants in Milan, but they are a lot focused on sushi. But today, the tide is turning, and people is going back to very traditional tastes on one side, or more modern tastes on the other side. So we are less interested in what was on the wave in the 80s. In the 80s, Japanese restaurants in Milan had a line outside waiting for entering them. Today is no more like that. They are really fronting a very difficult situation because they did not innovate. And you know, not everyone... less money in your pocket means you always look for something new, something really deep in the experience, and not the same old story. And in 20 years, Japanese has become the same old story, when Temaquinho is not. And is a lot more innovative because it allows you to bring new ingredients and to mix. It starts from mixing, and so there is not a proper tradition. You can get innovative. So, we are going to end, and this is the last slide indeed. To take in consideration different aspects allow you to appreciate food under many points of view. In this writing, I was able to portray in January this year in Berlin in a big demo about the future of agriculture and the involving of large part of the European population in the future of agriculture, not just specialists. There was this spruik. This game that seemed to me very clever. Lieber Vinsanto als Monsanto. It's evident play, but it's nice. In order to show what we mean when we say different points of view. Vinsanto is a very traditional produce. Monsanto is one of the biggest multinational corporations around the world. Why is better than Vinsanto? Because in this In our point of view that we share with the demo of that day, we believe that looking at single, even small, even very traditional, even rich in history, if not in economy, examples can bring good ideas for innovation as something don't have the big multinational corporations, because they are very focused and they get a little fossilized. They get a little fossil into what they run as the usual business day by day. They get less capable of being surprised and getting inspired from different aspects of food production that come from small examples. For this reason, this seemed to me something interesting to close this meeting and to invite you to remain in touch with us, because our next initiatives to enforce our ideas about food innovation could be something that we hope could interest you and allow you to appreciate, we used to say, a side look at food. Okay, if the straight way to look at food is the economical way, is the productionist way, we aim to bring into food production a side-based look. We look at it from the angle, and sometimes changing slightly the position, you can get some particulars that you are not able to see if you look at things starting from the normal, regular position. So, I do thank you for your attention, and please,
thank you.
If you have questions.
Yeah. Well, kind of a two-part one. First statement, I would say on the like the Monsanto thing.
Yeah.
It is a big corporation, but the people who work for it are just like you and me.
Definitely.
And there are a lot of them who I think are very passionate about what they're doing, the environment, etc. I think a lot of people don't equate the faceless corporation name with all the people who work for
Absolutely.
It, but it's a two-part question. One is, approximately 100 years ago, at least in the U.S., our average lifespan was maybe in the 40s, 40-something years old. Today, it's 70-something. So with the commoditization of food and a lot of things you talked about, how do you explain we're living almost twice as long? And then secondly, what is it that makes you believe that the way we kind of mass produce food today is not sustainable?
Okay. First question. When I tell you to add points of view and not to renounce to your point of view, yeah, is exactly what you mean with your first part of the question. Because I'm definitely aware of the fact that my grandfather had a worse life than me, because he had no so much commodified food, and he had to spend more than 50% of his income to buy food, when today in Italy we spend more or less 16 and 18%, but in other countries we go back to 10% about in the US or in Britain. Well, so the commoditification of food was the end of famine in a lot of the in the world, in most of the world. In other parts, it remains a problem, most because of distribution's problem and market's problem, than for production problem, because we already know, thanks to FAO results, that we are producing for more than the population we are, but we are not able to distribute it properly. So, when we say add other perspectives, it's just to allow person to appreciate the good results of the way in which we produce food, but not to renounce, to look in a critical way, let me say the positive critical way, to this system of production. Because when it was in the 50s and the 60s, the Green Revolution led to a very good result in Mexico and then in India, and we are absolutely convinced that the diffusion of good agronomic practices allowed this population to go efficiently against their regular famine problem. But after the times, everything was run perfectly, everything has been resolved forever, not properly. Today, Mexico is going to import more maize than it was needed by its population, and is lacking biodiversity of its traditional crops. Thank you. The question is, if we look biodiversity, because we stopped cultivating some good crop of the past that was not so productive, probably we are lacking in the future even some collateral effects of this cultivation. For instance, having a crop that we can use to replace another one that is going to be harmed by a new disease. When we had the Abel Brasiliensis crisis in the 40s, because a parasite started affecting Brazilian cultivation, it was thanks to the fact that it has been exported to Vietnam and other Southeast countries that we remained able to produce rubber, because without that possibility, that is in nature and not out of nature, we could not have sustained such a disease. Like in the 19th century, it happened with phylloxera and the vines in Europe. So what I am to say is that we look at food in a multidimensional perspective. We are able to be grateful to the great results we got thanks to the massive production. But we keep in memory that in diversity, in multifactorial approach, there are more resources to front the next crisis than thanks to the mono cultural approach. That's what I am to say. Definitely, I don't believe that the world of 100 years ago was more happy thanks to the traditional way of producing food. And this is something that even our president always stresses. It was a society of violence and lacking justice a lot more than today. But the reason that we made great progresses doesn't mean that we have to forget all the good that was in the past. This is the first part of the answer. The second part of the answer, now I can...
But what makes you think that it's not sustainable what we're doing?
Well, certain productions are definitely lacking sustainability. The more and more they need external inputs are based on the concept of the quantity of external inputs that are required. If you require an external input of energy that goes over the energy you are going to get from that field, then there is a problem. Sometimes a single year for a very specific production, it can be accepted. But not on the production of crops, on the production of cereals around the world. Because if they take more energy than what we get from them, then we have a problem of sustainability. Because we are consuming a resource that is finished, that is fuel, or fuels, and we are getting less than what we input. So we have a problem to face. It is evident that we cultivate hills with vineyards. We are not producing food that is needed to nourish people, nor is the best productive way to use that land. But this is for an hedonistic consumption, and it is not for a basic consumption. When we face crops production, and we see that a lot of this crops production is going to be lost in the energy because of the transformation using this crops production for seed, for fodder, for you, for animals, instead for consumption directly of humans, we are facing a problem of sustainability that is really economical, if you want, let me say. If you give figures, it's a problem of how much you put into to produce and how much you get. That's the reason for which I talk about a general problem of sustainability. Then we have other connected problems. Because when we insist a lot on monocultural aspects, you know, in the Roman world, my subject of interest, the income from cereals was 1 to 10. So you seed 1 and you get 10. That was the best average according to Columella in the first century after Christ. Okay. If we have only 1 to 10 balance today in our crops, we would be weeping the whole day, because it's definitely something extremely poor. Okay. So No one can say, oh, please come back to the times of the Roman and cultivate land with cows. But if we forget the idea of rotations, if we only think that in a monodimensional way, that putting fertilizer would solve any problems without taking in consideration, for instance, the biological life of soils, for instance, then we are led by the logic of commodities into a way that is less and less sustainable. And it is not only a question of how much fertilizers can you afford with your money. It's a question of how much can the environment, the system of Earth, afford such a way of produce on large scale. Okay? So, it is not a general and lacking arguments, accusation on the modern way of producing food. This is an invitation to introduce other consideration in order not to accept the ordinary way to run the business without posing some questions, without asking some questions more. Well, how much fuel is needed to produce these crops in this land? Would not be better to use this land to do something different, to reconvert it, for instance, to meadows and to breed in a sustainable way? You know, what's sustainability? It depends on the territory. No general speech can be done. In New Zealand, dairy farming is sustainable when they have cows only eating grass that produce 4.5 tons milk per cow a year. In Italy, our average is about 8.7 tons per year per cow. So, are we sustainable? And they are not. It depends on the land. If you have meadows enough, that's sustainable. If you can produce corn enough to sustain your way of farming cows in Italy, it's a question of your sustainability. But, for sure, meadows give less problems of nitrogen in soils than our cultivation of corns and soy and any other good to be fed to these cows we used to farm in Italy in this intensive way. So we have to keep these questions together and to ask ourselves, are we managing the soil we have in the best way, not just in the perspective of my budget for this year, but with a little long perspective. Okay. Looking at our children.
Thank you. Nice time for a break, because we are in the wine bank.
Nice time.
We actually gave you glass and...